hungry today for the presence of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And the title of my message today is The Innkeepers. I remember our first adventure finding a decent motel on Staten Island as a married couple traveling back to visit with the family. Of course, as you can imagine, I don't remember everything exactly like she does. I don't know that those two things could ever actually happen in any marriage. But one motel that we hit up was called the Victory Motel. And it was late, but it was still daylight. And I remember us looking at the hourly rates on the window, deciding that maybe this wasn't going to be the right place to stay tonight. And it may have been the same situation or a different situation that we found some recommendations from somebody in the family. And we went to this other place called the Staten Island Motor Lodge. Still there, by the way. And at this point, of course, it's dark and we're tired, exhausted. This is not an easy place to find. And we decided to settle in on this place. It's just too late to make any other changes, and we wouldn't know where to go anyway. And when we walked in the building, it was like stepping back in time. The greens and the blues, they blended so well with the coffee-stained designs on the carpet. She remembered last night that I didn't take my clothes off that night. And I don't even remember getting under the covers in that place. We probably should have been huddled up in the corner all night. And there was one phone in the hallway that you could wait in line to use. And the hardwood floors hadn't seen a mop or a wax in at least a decade. And throughout the rest of the vacation, thankfully we only stayed there one night, but throughout the rest of the vacation, our luggage and our clothing carried that distinct smell of dankness laced with cigarette smoke. I remember in my mind being a little worried that people were going to smell that on us when we went to the different, I don't even remember what the occasion was. Needless to say, I don't think they were all about it entertaining angels unawares at this place. Hallelujah. There's a saying that getting there is half the fun, but anyone who has traveled knows how important it is to get a good night's rest in a comfortable bed. Well, needless to say, we did not get a good night's rest that night. But we did learn a valuable lesson. And so now we check our lodging with a fine-tooth comb on the internet before we ever make a commitment. Now the point of my message is this, and this message is not directly evangelistic. This message is strategic. And that being that our church is in revival, our church is struggling to grow, but it has never successfully done that in its over 60-year history. And so needless to say, we are going to have to discover some things and traverse over territory that we never have before and be challenged in the way we think and in the way we act, in the way we speak, and the way we do church. And this brings me to the point of my message. There is an aspect of ministry that is often overlooked. It is the ministry of the innkeeper. How many times have you heard the preaching about the innkeeper? You know, in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Today I'm going to preach about the Good Samaritan and talk about the innkeeper. How many times have you heard it preached about that? Never. Okay. Pretty much. How many times have you heard about the man being robbed and beaten? How many times have you heard about the religious leaders who were too busy to help their fellow man? how many times have we heard all the stories about the heartwarming compassion of the Samaritan? But in the Bible, the story doesn't end there. In the after, or the epilogue of the story of the Good Samaritan, in Luke chapter 10, verse 33, 34, and 35, says, "But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.'" Now, it is of utmost importance, church, that there are Samaritans or servants of God who are willing to go out into the highways and the byways and bring in the needy and the hurting to the house of God. Amen. But there must also be a bed. There must also be a safe place. There must be someone to change the bandages of the injured and to bathe the incapacitated and infirm. There must be somebody to cook, clean, and change the sheets. And above all, there must be somebody to comfort, to befriend, and to soothe those who are found desolate. The often overlooked and neglected ministry of the innkeeper. I remember when they built the Briarwood. How many remember when they built the Briarwood Inn here in Fairfield? I mean, it was like the only commercial motel in town was the Uptown Motel. I mean, there was the Brown Motel, but it was more of an apartment building when I moved here. And now it's an apartment complex of a different sort. Hallelujah. We call it the Green Roof Inn. Well, the Uptown Motel was not a place you would feel comfortable putting a visiting ministry family in. But with the coming of the Briarwood Inn, everything was right with the world. That is, until it all came crashing down when our child evangelist Dale O'Hara came and spent a couple of nights there and left Fairfield with both of his legs covered in bug bites. Needless to say, that was the last time I ever put an evangelist there. The point is this: the church is a lot like a motel or an inn. It is a place where people come to rest and recuperate from their spiritual journeys. And they want to know, are the people friendly? Is the church accessible? Is it comfortable? Will I be fed? Will I be ministered to? Or is the staff gruff and bickering in the back? Do they act like that you're a bother or you're interrupting them from surfing on Facebook? Are there bugs and other hidden dangers there? Well, let me tell you something. There was about 2 years that I could not pray in this church, because somebody was coming to the church and they didn't love their animals enough to take care of them, and they were flea bit. And so they would come to church and walk the floors here, and then I'd come down for prayer on Monday, and about 5 minutes into my prayer time, I'd be in the bathroom with all my outer garments removed, trying to find the flea that was walking up and down my back biting me. So I moved to the building over here. Well, that didn't last long either. There were fleas over there. Well, maybe you were bringing them from the house. No, baby. You can walk in my house all day long, no fleas. Walk in the church 5 minutes, got a flea. What does that tell you? Church is like a motel or an inn. And people come here looking for rest. And it is, the Bible says, what we are here to give them, because Jesus promised that we would, if we came to him, that he would give us rest. I'm not saying that our church has to be perfect, but when you walk in the door, there should be a feeling about the place. There should be an air that says the innkeeper is on the ball here. There was one innkeeper in the Bible who was really on the ball. But she doesn't get a lot of credit. In the book of Joshua, chapter number 2. And Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. And so the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Something more to this prostitute than meets the eye. And now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. And the men said to her, our life is for yours, even to the death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. And she let them down by the rope. Many of us often see Rahab as nothing more than a harlot. But when you read your Bible from front to cover, she was much more than that. Rahab understood the needs and the wants of the wayfarer and the traveler. Rahab had a kind and generous heart, and she was also industrious. And there's no doubt that she was a harlot, and she had probably been given a certain proclivities. But she was offering more than that in the inn that she ran in the wall of Jericho. And it was no mean facility there. And she was in contact with many travelers in the region. And she even knew of God's miraculous deliverance of Israel from Egypt. And that had happened some 40 years earlier. And when you read the text, Rahab was even known to the king of Jericho. And this tells me that she held an unofficial position of respect within the city of Jericho. And the writer of Hebrews, as well as James, the brother of Jesus, describes Rahab as a woman of great faith. James chapter 2, verse 25, the brother of Jesus said about Rahab, and in the same way was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works, when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. I'm talking to you about the ministry of the innkeepers. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Now, this may go against your sensibilities, but it may be that we need to deal with your sensibilities before this church can grow like it needs to. We needed to get our sensibilities out the way and even get the truth of the Word of God into our hearts and roll up our sleeves and get ready to do what's going to need to be done for souls that are coming into the church. Amen. The truth is, God looks past the methods and the sins of the ungodly and in appreciation of the gracious and generous nature that He sees in them. That's the whole purpose of the story and the parable of the Good Samaritan. We only see what's wrong with people, but God also sees what's right. God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but He looks on the heart. And He reaches in and elevates the nobler nature inside of us. Rahab was saved from the destruction of Jericho because her heart was in the right place. As a matter of fact, she was able to save her parents, her siblings, and even members of her extended family. And she even converted completely to Israel's God and subsequently married one of Israel's warriors and birthed a son whom they named Boaz. And the rest of the story is history. She became the great-great-grandmother of King David and is listed in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Yes. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. And Salmon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab. And Boaz, the father of Obed, by Ruth. And Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David. God showed mercy to this pagan prostitute because hospitality and generosity are at the heart of His kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I don't want to belabor the point today and drag it too far out. I can put a lot more scriptures here and we'll add those in on Wednesday night in the home group. Is that okay? But I don't want to preach too long to where that you fall asleep and miss the message that I'm bringing to you today. There is a need in the Jesus name Pentecostal church for the nurturers and the caregivers and the innkeepers to rise up and get busy doing what God called you to do. To get busy doing what you're good at. Amen. And that is taking care of the hurting and the needy. The Bible said in Romans chapter 2, verse 14, for when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. Let me tell you something, church. I think it's great that you're saved. Amen. We ought to rejoice, Jesus said, that our names are written in heaven. Amen. But it's going to take more than just jumping around every Sunday over your salvation to grow the Jesus name Pentecostal church for the glory of God. Amen. Can you imagine a good Samaritan jumping around the wounded man and shouting about how glad he was that it wasn't him on the ground? That's what most churches are doing today. Pharisees, proud, arrogant, stuck up. I thank God that I'm not like that sinner over there. That wasn't the heart, and that is not the heart of the kingdom of God. The law of Moses commanded that they be hospitable and not oppress the stranger in their land. God is looking for generous-hearted, big-hearted people that are willing to roll up their sleeves and work for the kingdom of God and get into the ministry of the innkeeper. Can you imagine Rahab the harlot walking around her establishment, tickled pink, because she would be the only one the Jews wouldn't destroy when they attacked Jericho? And I'm being a little bit sarcastic, a little satire here. Can you imagine, what was she going to do? Declare a national holiday? Was she going to give everybody the day off? What was she going to do? Put up a no vacancy sign? What would that make them? Well, that would make the Good Samaritan, and that would make Rahab the harlot hypocrites. Church, we need the ministry of the innkeeper to be going on. Can't have people coming into the church and going out with bug bites on their legs. We can't have people coming into the church and going out with the stench of bickering and fighting on their clothes. The church needs a little less bickering and a little more befriending. We need a little less judging and a little more caring and loving. We need a little less idling and a little more industriousness. The Bible says she had flax spread out on the roof. She had scarlet cord and rope available. This was no ordinary prostitute. She was an entrepreneur in her day. We need a little less of the hireling who's willing to throw people to the wolves, and a little more willingness to protect those who come under our care, because the devil is going to come looking for their souls after they are delivered from the hand of his kingdom. Going to come to the church, going to come knocking on the door of the house, and the church is going to need some innkeepers that are willing to hide them and shadow them and shelter them from the attack of the enemy. We need a little more less desk theology and a little more practical advice and wisdom. We need a little less estrangement and a little more inclusion. We need a little less obscurity and a little more community-mindedness. We can't hide out, amen, in the four walls of our church. Oh, but God is calling us to love on people. If these sinners that are coming into the kingdom are going to stay saved, they're going to need innkeepers. They're going to need mentors. They're going to need shepherds. They're going to need guides. Somebody that can show them the way. Somebody that when they're lost and feel like they don't know which way to turn, that these innkeepers will say to them, "I know the way. Amen. I've been through this. Let me show you how." Now, I know I'm not preaching to everybody here today, but I am preaching to everybody here today because there's work to be done in the kingdom. And in order for that to happen, everybody's going to have to pitch in and do their part. We need a few less priests and Levites who know all the rules and can perform all the religious rituals. We need a few more Samaritans who are willing to get their hands dirty and be inconvenienced to help those who are down and out. We need a few more innkeepers. Amen. We need a few more church members who aren't constantly running off to the latest and greatest move of God. We need church members who aren't quickly bored and tired of the latest converts. We need a few more innkeepers. We need a few more people whose ministry is to make room in their hearts for however long is necessary to help new converts get back on their feet and do whatever it takes to keep them safe and hidden away from the temptations and the attacks and the trials that come on them in this world. Hallelujah. I want to ask you a question today. What kind of a host are you? Do you even want to be bothered? Or are you ready to go the extra mile? Would your ministry be rated at 3 or 4 or 5 stars? God forbid that you would be a 1 or 2 star. Hallelujah. Ministry of the innkeeper is being called on in this church.
Amen.
Get on board. Get involved. Find out what you can do to help.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah, bless God. I seen they got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, but where they at today? Well, they're right where they were, and you're right where you've been all for these decades and decades. And I'm not just preaching down or being mean to the veteran members of our church, but I am trying to preach to an idea here today that we're going to have to change the way we think about revival and new converts. We're going to have to change the way we act. We're going to have to start acting a little less arrogant and stuck up and proud, and a little bit more loving and compassionate and caring towards these new people that are coming in. That's why the Bible says God gave you the Holy Ghost, so that His love could flow inside of you and be shed abroad in you and reach out and touch the hurting people of this world. I want us to stand together today. I know this didn't go as deep or preach as hard as what I normally do, but I didn't feel led to do that today. This is exactly what I felt led to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Industry. Proprietors of the kingdom. We are being called to step into the footsteps of people like Rahab the prostitute, not to fall into her sins, but to feel the faith that she had in the kingdom of God, and to be willing to take a chance and trust. We're not asking you to be the doormat. We're asking you to be the innkeeper. You know what you do with the doormat? Every couple of weeks, you take it out and you hang it up on the clothesline, and you get your beater stick out and you beat the dirt out of it and you slap it back down and let it collect some more. You might need to be the doormat every once in a while, but He's not calling you to be the doormat.
Right, amen.
He's calling you to be the proprietor, spiritual entrepreneur, investing in souls. It does my heart good when I hear that Brother Darnell called Brother Stacy while he was in the hospital. That's what it's going to take to grow this church. Ain't that the pastor's job? You need to worry a little bit less about the pastor's job and worry a little bit more whether or not you're doing your job.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I know what my job is. Do you? Can you tell me whose shoulders you're standing on in the kingdom of heaven? Can you tell me what spirit and what ministry you're walking in that relates and correlates back to the early church? There are many ministries and many callings in the early church that God wants to fulfill that need to still have active ministry participants today. And the Spirit is searching out the congregation, saying, who will rise up in the spirit of Philip the evangelist? Who will rise up in the eloquence of Apollos the orator? Who will rise up in the power and the demonstration of the apostles Peter and Paul? Who will rise up in the innkeeping ministry of Dorcas and Mary and Martha? Who will rise up with tears and wash the feet of the saints? Where are, amen, the leaders that are belong to the leadership team of Jesus today? God is calling us to ministry. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. To be excited when a new face comes in the door. To be excited when you have an opportunity to minister and to show somebody love and comfort and care. To be willing when that new convert walks through the door to say, Pastor Rob, can I be responsible for them? Will you let me pray for them? And will you let me call them? And will you teach me how to love them and minister to them so they'll stay in the church? Will you teach me how? Well, hallelujah, you just made me happy because that's what I'm here for. Let me just teach you everything I know. and release you. It's Bible. The Bible says that the fivefold ministry is given for the equipping of the saints so that they can go and do the work of peace. Oh Lord Jesus, today I feel your inspiration so powerful. And you are moving us and shifting us, and you are growing us and teaching us, and we are reaching into your presence and digging into your word and attempting, God, to not be ignorant of the devil's devices, to no longer come behind in all these gifts. But we want to flourish and be vibrant and growing. Help us, God, as a church. Even if it's not all codified, and even if there's no policy and procedure manual to look to, let us, the only thing that we need to move us is to feel that spiritual prompting. Reach out. Touch. Interact. Engage. We don't have to be doormats. We're here to teach people and grow them in the kingdom, not to change their diapers and make them babies and make them invalids and keep them dependent on us for the rest of their spiritual lives. Somebody say amen. Let's pray together today. Jesus, hallelujah, you are calling the church.